Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
God, I'm enjoying these Mark Grody Bears reports and Chris Tannehill's open for them. It's brought to you by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire. In 20 minutes, we scratch Max 1998 Cubs in. With Steve Traxel.
Yeah.
Let's talk some Bears with Mark Grody, who's back in our Score studios. Grody, you were at House Hall today. How are the Bears doing getting over that loss?
We have a lot to get to in terms of that, Danny, and I promise that we'll leave a little bit of time. I'll give you the entire list of all the radio stations that I worked at in the past, if we could save just a little bit of time for that.
That'd be great. It's
about 35 stations, if we can get into that. Yeah, today
very impressive.
Today was still about working through the loss to the Packers and the fashion in which they did. And I thought the most interesting stuff in that regard was from one of the Bears' starting cornerbacks, Prince Amukamara.
I mean, I've never experienced a game like that one. There's a lot of mixed emotions. And then getting over it the last couple of days and then having to come back now and debrief and look at the plays again. And, I mean, like I didn't even know that was like it was third quarter. It was still like 20-0. I'm like, dang, we lost the game. And I think we're on to Seattle, but I don't think anyone can actually really get over this game. I mean, I think you just push it back to the back of your head, and then and still kind of remember it.
In that debriefing process, what did you guys see? Like, what stood out collectively with the defense in the second half?
Guys had to have had thick skin, especially me included, and of course the long plays and. I would say the long plays really, really hurt us. And during those crucial moments of the games, that's when guys have to be their best.
So that, again, is Amukamara. And we will talk about the 75-yarder in a second. But first, let me play Kyle Long, because he had sort of the opposite veteran take that Prince Amukamara did in terms of putting this game away.
You know, the longer you're in the league, the more you realize that you get a fresh opportunity every week to go play somebody new. And for us this week, it's Monday night at home against Seattle, and that's what we're excited about. You know, we looked at the film, and there's, you know, obviously corrections to be made, but that's what practice is for, so we'll use this week's practices to be able to improve on the things we need to. We're obsessed with protecting our home field and giving our fans what they want, and obviously we didn't give them everything they wanted on Sunday night. But our aim is to get a win this week against Seattle.
Yeah, I think, guys, I don't know if you guys agree or not, but this has been one of the more difficult weeks in terms of turning the page and moving on to the next opponent. And, you know, you have to, and you know that 1-1 kind of feels like a must just to get a little bit of morale going. But it's been a difficult week in Lake Forest.
Well, it's made worse, too, because they have to wait an extra day. And it feels like longer than that because there's all these games that they're going to be aware of, we're all going to be aware of on Sunday. So I'm sure it feels like it's going to drag for just a little bit longer, and it's going to be interesting to see what changes, if any, you find in Matt Nagy this week, because this is his first time of having this Monday night experience as a headmaster. Let me get back to Amukamara, the first cut you played.
Sure.
And you said you wanted to talk more about the long plays. It wasn't just the 75-yarder that was troublesome. There were other big plays made in the second half of that game, and I talked about it with Hub very briefly at the end of yesterday's show as to whether it's fair to question the Bears' fitness level as a group, because they were dogged in the fourth quarter of that game. They were dog-ass tired, and I saw a lot of it around the league, but it's more bothersome when it's your guys. Do any of it admit to that, Mark, that they were gassed?
Yeah. I mean, they said that they were definitely tired towards the end of that game. I mean, you could see it, too. You could actually see them huffing and puffing towards the end, and a lot of that probably had to do with the fact that, I'm positive actually, the changing game plan by the Packers, that Aaron Rodgers goes from, you know, the Aaron Rodgers we know to being the Aaron Rodgers who was just making really, really quick decisions and the short passes. And I think it was Ed Donatell, the defensive backs coach, who said, yeah, that's going to gas your team a little bit when you switch to that sort of thing. And I think you will see fitness levels start to go up as the season goes on. But it's, yeah, Dan, it's a real thing.
Well, Grody, it's weird because everyone came out of the game so optimistic about the Bears' defense, and it was the Bears' defense that blew it at the end. You know, it's a weird, but I don't think
football, that's Full Metal Jacket, great first movie, bad second movie.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the wrong takeaway because it's a Hall of Fame performance by Rodgers, right? It's a signature game in a Hall of Fame career, and it's the first game of the year, so I think it all makes sense. But it was the defense that got torched and gave up a 75-yard play to Randall Cobb, you know. But we're also all relying on the defense. It's a weird balancing act.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, Eddie Jackson was a guy that we talked about yesterday a little bit in our Bears report. And Ed Donatell, the defensive backs coach, saying that you got to stay on your feet as he tried to make a diving attempt at the ball that was passed to Randall Cobb from Aaron Rodgers. And we did get a chance to talk to Eddie Jackson, who was front and center out there to his credit and answering all questions.
Just got to, you know, when he extends plays, just got to, you know, grab him and stay with your man in plaster. You know, I try to make a, you know, play on the ball, diving for it, and came up a little short, and nobody was there to tackle.
You guys, you know, brought all five of your starting DBs back. That experience, should bringing that experience back prevent stuff like that happening?
I mean, when you're going against a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you know, it's, you know, Cal, like on the deep balls, you know, Cal played perfect coverage, you know what I mean? In my eyes, I was a little late. So a guy like that, I mean, it's only so much you can do.
How fast do you have to get over something like that and just put it away?
Fast. You know, we got another big game ahead of us, a home opener against Seattle. You know, another good team, another quarterback who can extend plays. So we got to come in and work. You know what I mean? Like Mitch said, we can't let one game dictate the rest of our season.
It seemed like, for whatever reason, that the Bears were more comfortable with first half Aaron Rodgers, the Aaron Rodgers who is capable of extending plays. And that's what he just mentioned, that Russell Wilson can do the same thing. And when you have that much speed and that many athletes as the Bears do on defense, sometimes that is a better matchup. I mean, remember back in Brian Urlacher's days, one of the best matchups that he had was when he'd go up against Michael Vick, you know, being able to go sideline to sideline. So I don't know if there's something to that the Bears were just sort of taken out of their game plan when Aaron Rodgers went to the short passes. But, you know, Eddie Jackson front and center right there and admitting that he had to stay on his feet.
So by that logic, Russell Wilson would be a good matchup for
that's
them.
What I, you know what? I mean, I'm throwing that out there as a possibility that if there is a defense that is a good matchup for somebody like Russell Wilson, it is a defense that has guys that can go after quarterbacks that are extending plays, that like to run, that you have enough speed now with obviously Khalil Mack out there who can extend and tackle. And, you know, Roquan Smith, hopefully we see more of that. Danny Trevathan is fast. I mean, people forget that because he's always injured, but he's one of the faster guys on that defense as well. So I do think it's a good matchup. And one more thing on the defense before we get to the offense and Allen Robinson. Akeem Hicks addressing the defense and kind of what you guys were talking about on where they went, what happened, and where things stand. How good do they think the defense is?
Well, I really look at the whole game. The whole game, there's always things that you want to get better at. And you know, you hate to leave stuff on the table. I feel like I left a sack out there. You know, I think overall, though, our defense, I think that we're really clicked in. Like, we're together on a lot of things. I think that when you saw us make a mistake, it would be like, you know, one thing going wrong rather than the entire, you know, everybody just mayhem. But I feel like as a whole, we're going to be able to pull it together. And, you know, we got a great defensive unit. And I think that we showed ourselves how dominant we can be in the first half. But the second half, there are things that we needed to pick up.
Yeah, and don't you guys think, I'll throw the question out to you, that what we saw in the first half was probably a lot more indicative than what we saw in the second half? That's the Bears defense. Maybe not that dominant, maybe, but a legitimate still, despite what happened in this game, a legitimate top 7-8 defense.
I expect Khalil Mack to have 36 fantasy points in the first half of every game this
year.
Well,
I was doing a little bit of searching, and I do think based on everything that I've seen with matchups, Khalil Mack will be held under 10.5 sacks for this game.
It's a great week for him. Russell Wilson, Mr. Play Extender, he's going to have no choice this year because the word is that might be the worst offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, them or Houston, and then Denver was in he didn't even pass that much, and they were in the backfield all day.
Well, and think about Khalil Mack going up against Brian Bulaga, who is, you know, despite all of his injury problems the past few years, he is a very good tackle. He didn't have a whole lot of help. You know, maybe that was something that Green Bay would have been burning up about more had they ended up losing that game, but that was probably a mistake on their part. It'll be interesting to see what Seattle does, being that, as you said correctly, Mac, not a great offensive line, and do they even have the personnel, can they afford to double-team him because of what Akeem Hicks showed that he can do, and even Roy Robertson-Harris, how about the game that he had, and just disrupting, and he was in on all the big plays for the Bears.
Listen, he's looked really good. I'm still digesting Hub thinking that he's a double-digit sack guy. And I know he didn't say necessarily this year, and I get that, you know, he will never get a single double team and that he's looked really good. But down linemen in 3-4 defenses that get double-digit sacks, I mean, that's saying that he's going to have a 25% better season in terms of rushing the passer than Akeem Hicks had last year.
Yeah, and Akeem Hicks is one of the best in the NFL, and he had 8.5 last year. So, and, you know, it was almost like he ran out of gas in the second half in terms of getting sacks. But, you know, Roy Robertson-Harris has been an interesting prospect. You know, used to be a linebacker, had to, you know, put on weight and then put on even more weight. So he's just getting comfortable. It's like he's a new player in his new weight, and he's just getting used to it. And he is a specimen for sure in terms of size. And for whatever it's worth, he did lead the preseason in sacks. And I know that's worth absolutely nothing.
No, they don't give any trophies, not even a dilly bar for that. As we talk Bears with Mark Grody, our Bears insider, he's in the studio. We're in Wrigleyville today. We got big Cubs Brewers as they wrap up their season series tonight.
How does it feel to be the pregame show for Steve Traxel? Sorry, Mac.
How long is it? So is Steve Traxel going to, is that segment going to go on like for an hour then?
I hope so.
Sorry, man.
Yeah. Let's shift gears and go. You wanted to get to Allen Robinson today because that's what I'm most eager to see. Weather dances without pressure. That's the quarterback. That's my Sioux name for Mitch Trubisky. Is a little bit more relaxed this week, and how much more of their playbook is installed for week two?
Yes. Allen Robinson, the question that he was asked was about the second down play where he was open in the red zone and Mitchell Trubisky didn't hit him, and what he has to say at that point to Trubisky and how they sort of recover from something like that.
Oh, I didn't have to say nothing. You know what I mean? I know we'll come back to it and we'll get it. You know, it's not nothing that, you know, I know that needs to be said. You know, if anything, I mean, we may just on some stuff, you know, hit some more reps at it or something like that, but I mean, nothing has to be said.
The deep ball you hit earlier in that drive, what did you see on that play getting for you?
Just trying to make a play. I mean, that's really it. I mean, that's my only focus when the ball is in the air. You know what I mean? I'm here to make plays and to make big plays. So, I mean, when the ball is in the air, you know, I just try to come down with it.
Allen, since you signed here, you've been very complimentary of Trubisky since the moment you got here. As you go back and you watch that game, what did you see that kind of reaffirmed your belief that Mitch is the guy?
I think the biggest thing that stuck out to me was in certain situations where we needed points and stuff, I mean, we got that and we got drives. And, you know, coming out of the third quarter, I mean, going into the third quarter, you know, up, I believe, 17-0, you know, we wanted to come out, we wanted to have a good drive, and wanted to get points up, and we did that. You know, it was about 6 minutes or so left. We knew that we can get to a 4-minute situation, and we knew that we would put pressure on them, you know, if we at worst got a field goal. You know, and we had, I believe, we had a pretty long drive and ended up getting a field goal as well. You know, I mean, we would like to come away with touchdowns in those situations, but in those got-to-have-it situations where you really want to come out and get points, we were able to do that.
Yeah, Allen Robinson, 4 catches, 60 yards. I mean, you eventually – I thought that was a pretty good debut for Robinson, all things considered.
Yeah, I thought so too, especially the targets went away for the most part after the first quarter. He looked pretty good, and I think it's going to take time for the offense. We said it before the year, so I don't want to overreact. And I think people are overreacting drastically.
That's what we do.
To Mitch Trubisky. I mean, but we don't have to. Like, other people can. It's not like in the contract. Like, I think Mitch Trubisky showed some good and some bad. And
yeah,
he's had 13 starts in his big league career. And this was his first start in a new offense.
Okay, so every time Mitch Trubisky is criticized, we have to qualify it by noting he doesn't have a lot of experience.
Yeah, if you're wanting to be fair. If you don't have any interest in being fair, you don't have to.
Isn't that already known, though? I mean, can you still be bothered by things you see?
That's
what I don't understand.
I think you have
to. I'm not trying to steal Lawrence's thunder. I'm going to let him continue to run with that platform.
Here's what I think.
Which I enjoyed enormously yesterday.
I think you have to hope that the errors that you see that are glaring, if they are to you, that he will, you know, fix those and it won't happen again. So, you know, obviously we saw them. We've talked about them. They've been pointed out. Matt Nagy talked about them. And now when he is shown those kind of things, then he's got to be able to improve upon those, or else then you can't say, in other words, if he makes the same mistake twice, then in that case you can't say, well, it's due to inexperience. And then I think the other part too is they have said all along that they have not given him the entire playbook as of yet, that there are still things that he's not completely comfortable with, and those things as the season goes on will be added in.
Yeah, I think he's going to be ups and downs this year, and that's part of it for a young quarterback. And if that's treating him with kid gloves, then so be it. I'll operate in that lane of what it actually is. And I see plenty of positives, and I see plenty of negatives, and that's what it is. Would I take Deshaun Watson over him? Yeah, I said it on draft day. Would I take Pat Mahomes over him? Yeah, probably.
But you have built-in bias on both. Your wife is a big Clemson fan, right?
Well, yeah, listen, I absolutely. But Mahomes is also in a better situation, and it's yet to be seen if the Bears situation can catch up to the situation in Houston or Kansas City. So, like, I'm willing not to make a rash judgment on whether or not Mitch Trubisky is going to be good one game into this year. Who's with me?
I'm with you.
Okay.
I think you're put off by my Sue name for him.
Oh, no, I think your Sue name for him is hilarious.
Okay.
Guys, my first job was in Peoria, Illinois. I was a board op. I did high school sports, pre- and post-game. I then moved on to Lincoln, Illinois, where I did a wacky morning show. Worked in Springfield, Illinois. It was great. So I got so far south, and then I worked my way back north. Here I am.
Some amazing story.
Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Roquan Smith says he feels great. He felt 100% coming out of that game. He played at the end of that game, so maybe that suggests that he's going to get more playing time or be in it even more meaningful times throughout the game. So it'll be interesting to monitor that from whatever information we get from practice this week. Danny Trevathan, I don't know if you guys remember, temporarily left the game, and that's when Roquan got in and got his sack, and it was his back that was bothering him. He obviously went back into the game, so we'll find out about that and make sure that he's all good, but it would appear that health-wise the Bears are in really good shape.
Mark Grody with the Bears Report. Thanks,
excellent.
Mark.
Thanks, Groats.
Take care, guys. Enjoy yourselves.
We're going to try.
We will do.
I don't know how we miss.
Bears.
Bears, come see us at Gallagher Way in Wrigley. All right, Mac, are you ready? You need any lotion?
I am indeed. Yes.
Okay.
No, I don't need anything like that, but I'm. You know how I have felt about these 98 Cubs for, about 20 years now.
Yeah. Hold on. I get the same thing.
Do you really? Yeah,
Steve,
nice going.
Steve Traxel will join us. We'll figure out why together. It's going to be fun. Next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
He got the job done, as a lot of other Cubs starters did in that magical year of 1998. Chip Carey and Steve Stone were the Cubs broadcasters then. We're broadcasting from right outside Wrigley Field this afternoon with Danny Parkins. I'm Danny Mack, and it's about time I scratch my 98 Cubs itch, Mr. Parkins.
I can't believe it's taking you this long.
Let's bring in the big right-hander, the man who Jim Riggleman said, I want him to have the ball in game 163 in that one-game play-in against the Giants. It's Steve Traxel. How are you, Trax?
Doing very good, guys. How's it going?
Everything is good here. It's been another great season with the Cubs. Expectations are enormous, and it's been a fun race. I don't know how much of these Cubs you've been watching, Trax, but starting pitching lately has been their strength. Have you been watching the Cub?
Yeah, I've been watching off and on for most of the year. I kind of got spoiled after they went to the series. Quit watching a little bit. I'm sure like a lot of other people finally did. You know, finally got that itch out of the way, but coming down the stretch here, yeah, I've been paying a little bit more attention.
What do you remember about the stress of pitching in September when the playoffs are on the line?
Every single game just means so much more, especially when you're looking at the leaderboard and you're looking at the flags out there in center field, especially if the Cubs weren't, we weren't in first or second place. trying. We were mostly, you know, chasing the Cardinals back then, so we were always trying to see what they were doing. If they had a day game and we were on the road, we'd, you know, get a W, catch a full game on them instead of a half game. Just so much more exciting. The poor fans are that much more into it. And, I mean, that's what the whole season comes down to, what you always play for.
I spent a lot of time in the Cubs clubhouse in the summer of 98, much to the chagrin of buds who were Sox fans who called me Danny Woo-Woo that summer. But the guys in the bullpen were great, both Terrys, the shooter, Rod Beck, loved spending time with him. That was a fun clubhouse. That was an era when guys like us, too, Trax, had access to you guys. I don't think you'll ever see that again. But this team prides itself on being a group of guys that love to sit around and talk baseball. How much of that translates into something positive on the field, in your opinion?
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories about other teams now where I guess it's kind of everywhere now, where guys sitting there in their locker, they got their headphones on, they're buried in their phone, and they just don't spend a lot of time, you know, with each other, becoming a team. And if you're able to do that and have a lot of fun and keep it really light, you know, I know Madden's always been about that, about having guys dress up and bringing stuff in just to keep the mood light. You know, it carries over onto the field. You know, you take that stress away a little bit and you play a little bit more relaxed, and I think you play a lot better.
What's the first thing you think of when someone says the 1998 Cubs?
Oh my gosh! Obviously, Game 163. Just the the excitement of the city, the electricity in the stadium. You know, the big giant Harry Carey balloon hanging out there over in left field, and then obviously the end there. You know, like you said, Shooter getting that little pop up to Grace, and then just the celebration on the field, and the way the whole city, you know, celebrated, and something that, you know, we'd all been waiting for so long.
The Cubs had been almost a decade without a postseason appearance since that 89 thing against the Giants, and there were a lot of baseball fans who remained injured from the strike that concluded a season prematurely. No postseason in 94, and yeah, I look back at it, Trax. I don't remember any conversations. Guys who were flapping their gums trying to have strong opinions every day like us, I don't remember any of us being suspicious that something wasn't right in 1998. I mean, I guess that's pretty naive. I don't know if it was willful ignorance because we wanted baseball to be back, but we should have known something was up. Something wasn't right about these home run numbers.
Oh. Yeah, I think it was pretty obvious. It kind of came down to some situations where, you know, you would see it on other teams, but then you're like, well, I can't really say nothing and about other guys, because then they might be saying stuff about our guys. And, you know, everything was going really well, like you said, after the strike. Run scored numbers were up, fans were coming back, the TV ratings were coming back. And I think, a lot of people just kind of turned a blind eye to what was going on, and we were just happy to have baseball being strong in America again.
But you knew at the time.
I don't know that we knew. I think everyone kind of suspected. I mean, I never saw anything that would, you know, where I could definitely say I knew. But, it was, you know, you see guys come back and they were, you know, bigger, stronger. You had second baseman hitting, you know, 35 homers where they hit 10 the year before, and guys are leaving opposite field really easy. I mean, kind of knew, but you didn't know officially, I guess, is the way to really put it.
Well, you hit .266 with an OPS of almost 700, Trax. Did you have a needle?
I did that year.
I've been chiding the Cubs this year for not doing anything to recognize the 98 team. Danny was a kid at the time. He
I was
loved
12
the
years
team.
Old. Love that.
12,
yeah,
wow. Yeah.
And I know it's because they don't come out and talk about it, because they don't want the Sosa conversation rekindled, because it's ugly and it invokes hurt feelings. You bothered at all by the lack of the club? I mean, this is a team that celebrated guys who didn't succeed for 100 years with conventions and guest conductors, and it's like you guys didn't exist because they don't want to stoke the Sosa stuff.
I don't know if that's it. In all reality, I haven't done absolutely nothing with the Cubs since I got done playing. I haven't been to a convention. I haven't done any fantasy camps. I heard that there was a dedication to the teams in the 90s, you know, top players of the decade. I didn't get invited to that. So, I'm not really sure what the reasoning is behind it. I think, some answers would be nice. Something I've always wanted to do is get involved. I do a lot of stuff with the Mets, and, I spent less time there than I did in Chicago. So it would be nice, I think, to get that team back together. I think the fans would really enjoy it. And, on a personal level, I'd love to be more involved with the Cubs just because I spent so much time there.
Well, we'll stuff the suggestion box. I think it's a reasonable request. I didn't Google this today, but you say no mention in on the 90s. Didn't you lead the Cubs in wins for the decade of the 90s?
I did, yeah. I represented them in an All-Star game in 96. 94, I was Rookie Pitcher of the Year. So, I felt like I did some pretty decent things as a Cub. And, I'd like to think maybe, Cubs convention would be fun. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't want to sound like sour grapes here, but, it's just something I would like to be involved with. I mean, I come back to Chicago quite a bit. I was there for a couple of the World Series games. I'm still a fan of the team, a huge fan of the city, huge Blackhawks fan. It'd just be nice to get back and do something with the organization.
Talking to Steve Traxel on the Score. And so no one's you're just waiting for a call and they've never reached out? You have any idea or any theories as to why?
It's not like I'm waiting. I mean, it would be nice to do something. No real theories. I'd like to think I didn't piss anybody off, but you never know. Maybe I did. They have a lot. They do a lot. I see Fergie around at a lot of charity events. He does a lot of stuff and had him as a pitching coach for a little while, and I see other guys. I saw a lot of guys during the days when I was there for the series, but I wasn't there as a Cubs ambassador or promoting the Cubs or anything. I was just there because I'm a big fan and I wanted to see the Cubs win.
And these days you're residing in California. What you doing keep the income flowing, and what you doing with your spare time?
I got two kids in high school. So getting that, my son already got accepted he's going to be going to NAU and Flagstaff, so we're getting that all set. My daughter's really heavy into dance. I just got married just over a year ago again, so been busy trying to keep a new wife happy and looking to start another second round on the family there, and that keeps me pretty busy. Most of my family lives out here, and my parents are still an hour and a half away. My wife's family is in Jersey, so we head east quite a bit. And, other than that, just kind of a stay-at-home dad more than anything.
Well, it's great to catch up with you, Trax, and we've received a bunch of texts from Cubs fans say they're glad to hear your voice. And a couple of them commenting that you sound a lot more laid back than you used to. People do remember you as a guy with a bit of an edge.
Well, the game was hard for me. It wasn't something where I could just kind of show up and turn it on and play. It took a lot for me to get focused prior to a game and to maintain that focus during a game. I'm kind of in awe of these guys, like a Baez who can make this amazing play on the outfield and then come in and goof around and then get locked right back in for an at bat and something like that. If I lost that focus, it would take me 20 minutes to get back into it. So all these guys are real fun to watch. They're having a lot of fun, and it just amazes me how some of these guys can go in and out to be locked in like that. And I wish that was something I was able to do. If I would have came off without as much of an edge, but that was what I had to do to have success when I played. It was real difficult for me.
Trax, thanks a bunch for the time. And
thanks,
on behalf of all the 98 Cubs fans who are listening, thanks for 98, 20 years after
you're
the
very
fact.
Welcome, man. Yeah, go Cubs, and let's go Hawks this year. Let's get them going.
That's a tall order.
Mac agrees with you, though. I promise you that.
I hope so. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Talk later. That's Steve Traxel, good old number 29. And I want to shout out to my former radio partner, Harry Tynowitz, for helping me get hooked up with Trax today.
Oh, nice.
For
the tiny one.
Mac, you'd like Trax. Get off his back about the Aaron Water Show.
Oh, you wanted to ask him or no on the Aaron Water Show?
Just like Can't Do It. Yes, asked and answered. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was a different broadcaster many years ago, too. I was more likely to stick the knife in and grind for a little bit longer than I should have. And that became a lazy default hook whenever Traxel's name came up. And I didn't even know the context in which he mentioned the Aaron Water show. I just ran with it because it sounded like a highly paid athlete whining, and I wanted to be the tough guy in my 30s. I want to muscle up on this guy. You know what? I probably wouldn't have liked it either. Had fighter planes been flying over my head and I'm trying to strike a guy out.
Probably not.
Yeah. Look, this is the mature McNeil.
A kinder, softer Dan McNeil.
Yeah, back end.
That conversation brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets to the Wolves' 25th anniversary season on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th at Allstate Arena. Did that scratch the itch like you wanted it to?
Yes, until Shep finds, Jose Hernandez, who hit his 22nd homer of the year 20 years ago today.
We'll get more 98 trivia questions from Mac as we go. You did mention Can't Do It. That's coming up in 20 minutes. Len Casper in 40. It's McNeil and Parkins at Gallagher Way outside Wrigley before Cubs and Brewers on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Get your questions ready for Can't Do It. McNeil and Parkins on the score, brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter. You're just glowing.
Yeah, I'm in the presence of greatness. The audio engineer of all audio engineers, Dave Miska, is within. God, I'm breathing the same oxygen he is.
You're saying it right in front of Rich Wyatt.
Rich Wyatt's outstanding, but he understands I have a lot of flight miles logged with Mr. Miska.
I know, but I mean, what a show for Danny Woo Woo. He talks to a 98 Cub, and then Miska shows up. Uh-huh. I mean, this is just heaven for you.
Miska would love to have he would partake in the conversation we had prior to the show when you asked how your wraparound microphone sounded, and I said,
Dave, do you think this is lower quality than what he's doing?
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
It sounds like a wraparound microphone. I told him if I were in my car, whether I were listening on the FM side on 104.3-2 or AM 670, I would know instantly it's a wraparound.
Well, I enjoy being able to talk with my hands.
Yes, he wants to talk with he's talks with hands.
Talks with hands.
Mitch Trubisky is dances without pressure, and Danny Parkins is talks with hands.
I'm glad you brought up Trubisky, if I may make a sports point to interrupt this love affair between you and Dave Miska.
I understand that, yeah. Dave Meniska. He tore his Dave Meniscus.
If people are treating him with kid gloves, or if I am treating him with kid gloves, tell me. But I feel like I'm evaluating a quarterback who is one game in to year two, two offensive systems in 2 years, 13 games into a career where he played only 13 games in college. Like, I feel like anyone taking a stand declaratively, he's going to be great or he's going to be awful, is just being a knee-jerk reactionary fan, which is fine. It's your prerogative, but it's not how I tend to analyze sports. Like, do I think Mitch Trubisky will be good? Yes. The question is how good, and time will tell based on how much he grasps this offense.
All right. To answer your question, no, I don't think you treat him with kid gloves. I haven't seen a lot of this out there in general in terms of the way our city's columnists or sports opinion makers have been treating it. This has been Lawrence's platform the last couple nights. I heard his show prior to Cubs pregame last night.
Okay.
And he's hot at anybody who wants to treat a professional quarterback gently and give the serious, professional criticism, the sharpest criticism available to guys who aren't named Mitch Trubisky. So I understand his point, but I said the other day, 8 games before I get anywhere close to, as you like to say, selling my Mitch stock. It is way too early, but I don't think, for me, I don't need to say that every time before I criticize him, that I realize he only played X number of games in Chapel Hill and he only played 12 last year. I think most of our listeners are aware of that, and they often like to remind us, too, if you don't qualify, it's, he's only played McNeil. I understand that. We all know that. That doesn't mean I can't get rough on him because I see the same mistakes this past Sunday night I did in his first game.
I agree with you. He had some brutal moments in the second half of that game, and I would say, and this is totally anecdotal, but I know a Chiefs website today that posted, would you trade Pat Mahomes for any quarterback in football? I saw a Jets column.
That's a little over the top.
Well, right. So I'm doing this to illustrate a point. There was a Jets column today in one of the newspapers that said that Sam Darnold would not be traded by the Jets for any player in the NFL. In Houston, they think that Deshaun Watson will win an MVP.
Right.
They think the same thing in Philadelphia of
right.
Carson Wentz.
Sure.
We're not there yet.
Oh, well,
you
no.
know what I mean? So like, just on that, like, those are four fan bases with four young quarterbacks either in Mitch Trubisky's draft class or a draft class younger than him that are already all in on their guy, superlatives, positive that he's great. Now, they're not that yet on Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, hasn't played. They're not that on Josh Rosen in Arizona yet, hasn't played. Early returns on Josh Allen we'll see in Buffalo. But like, just based on that, I get it. Trubisky hasn't shown as much of an upside as some guys in some other places where they are all in on their guy. So maybe that is cause for concern compared to other young quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, at first today when I heard a John Feinstein commentary about this is more than anything we overreact to week one of the NFL, fans, media. I didn't agree with that when I heard it, but after learning about those, how they're feeling in other cities after one game for Sam Darnold.
Right.
That there's here's the word for that. Absurd. That's the only way to describe that opinion on Sam Darnold or Patrick Mahomes for that matter.
And by the way, I would love it if Trubisky comes out against Seattle and throws for 400 yards and three touchdowns and no picks, and all of a sudden we could be having that type of conviction about Mitch Trubisky here. That would be amazing. And I'm hopeful that it comes sooner than later with the new receivers and the new offense and all of that. But just because a few other guys have had little glimpses of success doesn't mean you should be, as you quoted me saying, selling all your Trubisky stock. There still is a lot of time here to let it play out and see if this guy is going to end up being good or not.
Yeah, I what bothered me more than anything the other night, the happy feet.
Agreed.
I want to see that instinct he has, it seems, to bring the ball down immediately if he doesn't find his first option available. He immediately wants to bring the ball down and start moving toward the line of scrimmage, nervous that he's going to have to make something happen on the run. That's problematic. You got to stand in there. You got to set yourself, and you're going to get hit. And that's another thing, but not nearly as much as the happy feet, but he needs to start protecting himself when he's running with football. I think he'd be very effective running with the football, but recognize you're going to get clocked. When he ran out of bounds the other night, third quarter, I think, for a first down, he almost got killed. He pulled up before he crossed over the chalk. You can't do that. You get your head taken off.
And I said it on Monday after the game. I was really concerned with how he looked outside of the scripted plays early. Like, he's got a tremendous amount of growth. And people questioned me earlier on the text line saying that how is Mahomes in a better situation than Trubisky? I don't think you can underestimate two offenses in 2 years. Like, Mahomes learned the offense for an entire year. He studied it.
Yeah.
And now he's playing in it.
Right.
Whereas Trubisky had an offseason to learn this offense, and then
right.
he's playing in a game. There's a huge difference there.
There is, but the things that are troublesome for me are irrespective. I almost said irregardless. Slap me if I ever do.
I will.
They have nothing to do with systems, and they have everything to do with just simple fundamentals of the position, regardless of the system in which you're playing.
Understood. And I would think how I'm operating is that once he feels more comfortable in the system,
yeah,
the fundamentals will be there. Because when he was throwing for 4,500 yards at North Carolina or whatever it was with 70% completion percentage, you watch that college film, it wasn't like a guy that was described as having happy feet.
Right.
You know,
so
once he becomes comfortable, I assume that will be there. And maybe that's a false assumption.
Maybe they look angrier and larger and faster at the professional level, and happy feet can be born in the process. And I appreciate all of you and all of you numerical police out there. Steve Traxel, good old number 46 as a Cub. Not good old number 29. He was 29 as a Met.
This segment brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for their 25th anniversary season on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th at Allstate Arena. 312-644-6767. Doesn't matter that we're out here at Gallagher Way and we have a live audience out here of dozens. Maybe. Doesn't matter. We'll still answer your questions. Me, Shep, I assume Tanny, even though he's back in the studio, Dan McNeil.
Hey, we might have a guy who can tell us how dark it was when Gabby Hartnett hit that home run.
312-644-6767. Call up. Give us your questions for Can't Do It on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.